Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW. And Sitka joining me in the studio this morning from the Alaska Community Foundation is Candace Winkler. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning.
And I didn't even ask you where you're really from. Is it Anchorage, right?
From Anchorage, right.
You got blown down here by...
Right. Beautiful weather down here. Not so nice up in South Central.
Yeah, let's not... Tell him. Is that okay?
My husband is quite jealous. I've been sending him pictures of the sunshine.
Let's keep it just between us. Also, Willow Moore is here from Braveheart Volunteers. Good morning, Willow.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again. And Candace, you're going to be giving a presentation along with Chris Perez from the Rasmussen Foundation this morning.
Right.
At the Haim Center at 10:30, and it's scheduled to last until about noon.
Right.
But you're going to be talking about the Alaska Community Foundation, and I guess there's going to be conversation about community foundations in general. But let's just take this step by step. What is the Alaska Community Foundation?
Great. Well, the Alaska Community Foundation, we're a statewide public foundation. So as you mentioned, Chris Perez is with us from the Rasmussen Foundation, and most Alaskans are very familiar with that foundation, which is one family's private foundation. The Alaska Community Foundation, by contrast, I mean, we do very similar types of work, but by contrast, we are public in nature, and so we actually have almost 300 different funds from around the state. So we have families who, you know, maybe don't have, you know, $500 million to set up a foundation, but, you know, do want to contribute back to their communities, and they will set up their own family fund. We also have organizations that decide they want to grow their own organizational endowment. And then we also have communities who decide they want to save as a community, kind of build almost a mini permanent fund that their community can use for grant making and to support the nonprofits and the quality of life of their community.
All right. And so where does the term affiliate model, how do we break that out of what you've been talking about?
So that's actually the model that we call the community funds that are established. And so over the last 4.5 years, we've worked with 5 different communities to set up geographic affiliates, and they are in Haines, Talkeetna, Petersburg, Kenai Peninsula, and in Seward. And the idea is that a local group of citizens come together and really vision for the community, work with the community to raise some of those permanent funds, and then redistribute, make grants, and work, you know, under the auspice of the statewide community foundation.
Okay. Candace, while we have this picture in our minds, I wanted to ask Willow that a little later this month, or actually in October, you're going to bring in some folks from Juno to talk about sort of another form of community foundation, an independent community foundation, right?
That's right. Yeah. So for this whole month, there's been a group for years been exploring the idea of a community foundation in Sitka and weighing, is this a good option for Sitka? Just researching and weighing the evidence and seeing what will really work for our community. And so this month is we have a series of presentations and experts coming in, and we're so grateful to have the Alaska Community Foundation as one of them, that are providing the pros and cons of different models and methods to having community foundations.
Oh, okay. So, and I guess it's like on the next week, even the 27th or something.
Yeah. At the beginning of the month, we had Sam Skaggs. And then we're going to have the community foundation as a possibility, and then we'll have Reed Stoops, and then we'll continue that process of learning from other experts, particularly from Alaska communities that have found effective methods of community foundations to meet the needs of their community.
Okay, so several sort of different ways of basically achieving the same thing, and maybe this is where we can come back to you, Candace, about, you know, why community foundations?
Well, you know, at the core of what all of the community foundations do, and I know you've got the Juno Community and the Homer Community Foundation, and they are both strong partners of us. They both have permanent endowments held at the statewide level as well. And, you know, we have worked with them over the years to share training and technical assistance and things. At the core of all the community foundations is this idea of growing philanthropy and then using that to improve the quality of life. And we know that in a state like Alaska, where we have low levels of individual giving, there's a lot of work to be done. And we think that, you know, having the infrastructure in place to be able to make philanthropy easy and attractive for people who have done well in Alaska, you know, that really is going to have a major impact on the kind of giving we see. I mean, I want to give sort of one example, and this is, you know, this is probably an extreme example, but we all know those folks who at all levels have done well in Alaska and have moved out of state. But, you know, we look at a place like Kennecott, where the Guggenheim family made a lot of money and really extracted a lot of wealth from the state and then left. And we see no evidence, no trace that they were here. But you go to New York City and there is a fancy, you know, museum there and lots of investment in the arts and things like that. So, you know, we think community foundations are a way to provide for sort of permanent resources for communities throughout the state.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that. You know, Alaska does sort of have this history of development. You know, it's right. been sort of a resource extraction based mm-hmm. community, and a lot of this money has left. And in some ways, you know, we always talk about how young Alaska is, but it's sort of a sign of a place's maturity mm-hmm. when people begin to sort of turn and look back inward about how can we, you know, use this money to best serve the place where it was, you know,
right.
earned
right.
And
support the community that supported,
sure.
you know, the individuals or the businesses who came here and did well.
Right.
So it's a real sort of reciprocal relationship. But, you know, we're excited that Sitka is having this conversation. And, you know, what is also really exciting is there are lots of communities around the state right now that I think are maturing and really starting to talk about the potential of legacy giving and planned gifts and community foundations, and how do we make sure some of those resources can transcend generations and, you know, not just look at how is my community going to be tomorrow or for my kids, but to really think about community over the long run. And, you know, in Alaska, we have such a great model. I mean, we all just got our permanent fund check, even mm-hmm. though it was a little smaller this year than, you know.
Right.
But, you know, we understand the power of endowing funds and then, you know, seeing the benefit of them over time.
Right. And philanthropy, I guess, is also, there's an element of scale mm-hmm. here, too. I mean, I would think that just about everybody listening at some point has contributed to Raven Radio. We're a nonprofit. Willow's here from Braveheart. You rely a lot on individual donors contributing, you know, amounts in the tens, hundreds of dollars. Philanthropy is kind of going to a different place.
Right.
We're talking about the kind of money that really is the kind of money that you bat around when you talk about development and infrastructure
right.
and right.
Well, we have some exciting, you know, examples. You know, in Seward, they are one of our affiliate communities, and you know, 4.5 years ago, they started as an idea and a dream with no resources and some really engaged citizens. You know, we worked with them. They grew their endowment over that time period, I think got to about $150,000. And then they had a guy from Seward who nobody realized had any wealth. I mean, he actually drove around, this is going to probably sound familiar to all of us in Alaska, with duct tape holding his car together and, you know, just kind of an eccentric guy. And when he passed away, he left a $1.9 million bequest to the Seward Community Foundation. And so now they're, you know, 4.5 years later, they're at $2.5 million. And those funds will be used, proceeds from that will be used every year to support the nonprofits in the Seward area.
Yeah, well, I think people know the money is there. Yeah. I mean, the Reuben Crossett Foundation, Reuben
right.
Crossett owned a bar.
Right.
in Ketchikan. And I guess his philanthropy is now based out of the Seattle Children's Hospital. But the same idea, the money.
But he owned a bar in Ketchikan. That's right. What's he doing with philanthropy in Seattle?
Well, the CrossFit Foundation does send a lot of money,
good.
A lot of money back. But just recently, it was in the newspaper. We're going to have a story on Raven Radio about there was a $500,000 donation to the Sitka Fine Arts campus, and it almost, you know, to those of us in sort of the news consuming public, it almost came out of nowhere. But obviously, the woman who donated and her late husband had something in mind for Sitka all along, and they found the thing that they wanted to give to, and they gave to it. I just point that out as an example that a community foundation, from what I hear you guys saying, a community foundation can be a place for people who have substantial resources to make sizable contributions in an enduring sort of way.
With that said, too, I also want to make sure that folks understand that community foundations can also provide a vehicle for folks who aren't able to make those kind of gifts, and that sort of philanthropy is also important. You know, we were just in Ketchikan, and we have a lovely scholarship in Ketchikan for Ketchikan High graduates. It was set up by the alum, and you know, there was a woman who had been giving $100 a year to this scholarship fund. She was a teacher. She was a music teacher in Ketchikan for many years, and she recently passed away and left a $10,000 gift, which is going to really help some kids in Ketchikan, you know, seek higher education. So, you know, while we certainly want to make space for those larger gifts, and I do think they are out there, we also feel like community foundations, it's important to provide opportunities for people who are giving at much lower levels.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to mislead
right.
people. I'm the one
right.
asking questions.
Anyway. No.
Maybe in having this conversation, you're sort of helping me understand too. I guess there's a spectrum,
right?
That a spectrum of levels that work
right.
well in
right.
this model.
You know, as I was first introduced to this idea, the idea of a community foundation. Even though community foundations have been around for almost 100 years now, at first I was pretty concerned about the idea. I mean, really, we have so much to give to already in Sitka, so much happening and so many great causes. And then I started asking questions. I asked Rasmussen Foundation, Community Foundation, Juno, all the little community foundations throughout Alaska. I asked, does charitable giving, do the small contributions that our nonprofits and great causes depend on, does that dry up? Does that change? Does the money shift to a bigger entity? And the answer was a surprising no. It actually increased those donations. And I'll let Candace answer that more fully. But right. I was really surprised at that, and I think it's an important point.
Well, I do think that is, you know, is often a concern. What we find is that the conversations that are being had at a community level actually increase philanthropy. And I think every single one of our affiliate communities, there were nonprofits in those communities as they got started that were very skeptical and really felt, you're coming onto my turf. But I would say, you know, when we go to those communities now, many of those kind of, you know, naysayers really are the biggest champions of the community foundation because they think that the conversation has been raised and elevated. Often the community affiliate is doing things like not only are they going to be giving grants to those nonprofits, so it's a new funding source, but they're doing things like hosting conversations about planned giving. Well, if you're a person who has supported one organization or two organizations, you know, over time, it's likely that what you end up doing with the planned gift goes directly to that organization. So I think those have been some of the feedback and stories that we have kind of heard over time.
Yeah, I think a lot of the appeal here is the structure,
right.
the perpetual nature.
Right.
Of the foundation, the fact that your money is invested
right.
and continues to produce
right.
Benefit for you after you've set it up. And
maybe it would be helpful for me to tell you, because right now, you know, as I said, we've had these five affiliates. Right now we are in the process of recruiting four new affiliates. And I could tell you a little bit about the structure of the program.
And we don't have enough time.
That's going to be the teaser for folks to come out at 10:30.
Yeah, the meeting is going to be at 10:30 today at Hames. And just we're hoping that anybody interested in the idea of philanthropy should come out. But it's not just nonprofits. This is for business and community leaders. And you're also hoping financial planners and advisors come, and just people who care about the place that they live in and how to see it thrive into the future.
Should be there.
All right. Candace Winkler is from the Alaska Community Foundation. She's visiting from Anchorage. Willa Moore is the director of Braveheart Volunteers. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.